It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Mets season is not over. It's just the beginning. Stay positive. 888-808-1019. I'm here to say this, because I heard this a lot last night, Tiki, and of course this is Loogie and Lightning here on Evan and Tiki. A lot of people were saying, you can't lose to bad teams. Well, I'm here to tell you, when you beat good teams in baseball, you don't get bonus points for it. And when you lose to bad teams, it doesn't count as two losses. They all count the same. There's 162 games. Bad teams beat good teams all the time. But you got two more games, win the series.
It just feels so bad, Tommy. So bad. And I think maybe it's because it was Seve, too. You just kind of wanted to bounce back from Seve. And he was okay until the fourth inning and gives up the home run. Actually gave up all the runs, those four runs in the fourth inning. And it wasn't all his fault, but it just felt like I want to see Seve become Luis Severino from the beginning of the season. And then I'll feel comfortable about this Mets team. And then for the most part, he was fine and he gives up the home run. And then he just had no faith. Then the faith just kind of fell out the door. And it just felt like, oh, here we go again. It's not the same issue. It's not the bullpen. It's none of that stuff. They just don't feel good enough. And I don't mean that as they're not going to make the postseason or they have no chance, but something about them makes them feel not quite good enough. And it's frustrating because you know they could be.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Luis Severino. You kind of teed me up here, Tiki, because as you know, I am positive, Tommy. And even in the negative situations, I try to turn them into positives. And Seve has not been good in his last couple starts. And obviously, Severino has dealt with injuries. So he's starting to reach that point innings-wise that he hasn't seen it. You know what I mean? So
yes,
you're
while.
Starting to see it in the performance. So I came up with an idea. How about Carlos Mendoza, who has not been scared to make certain type of moves, whether it's moving Lindor to the leadoff, dropping Pete in the order, putting Tyrone Taylor up in the order. So he's had that ability to do things. He hasn't been scared. He kind of goes with his gut. So how about you move Severino to the bullpen you put Buddo in the rotation?
How did you put Seve in the bullpen?
Because
he's
now
he's never been a bullpen arm.
Well, now he doesn't have to throw as many innings, so now he could take the Buddo rollover, and Buddo could go into the rotation, who they flirted with a little bit. Remember when they stretched him out in that game that was a blowout and Evan was having a conniption over?
Yeah.
They've thought about it.
Of course.
And as good as he's been in the bullpen, he could be better in the rotation. Let's see where he goes. And Severino, if you are concerned with him, if you're concerned with the innings, and obviously the last two starts have been ugly, if you put him in that role where you only need an inning, maybe even two innings out of him, I think he can thrive in that role. I think he can. So it's definitely unorthodox. It's because Severino's been, at least in the first half, was their best pitcher. Obviously now Minaya and Quintana are their better pitchers, but I would do it. I mean, try something, because if you are worried about it, and I think there are a lot of Met fans that are concerned over Luis Severino here in the second half, and I don't have to tell you Yankee fans, too, that are listening, you've seen this with Seve, and we're starting to see that older Seve and that Seve at the end of the Yankee career. Move him to the bullpen. He can relax. Couple innings. Doesn't have to worry about throwing five or six innings. And Buddo, who's been lights out, put him in the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Buddo in the rotation, because I think Jose Buddo has, he's starting to develop that like little it. That I have control, I feel confident, I'm comfortable, I know what I can do, I could be and will be a pretty effective starter. I just worry about Seve going to the bullpen and the psychological effect it has on him. So we remember this a year ago, and Seve was, he kept just saying, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong. We even said on our show, he needs to take a mental break. He needs to just chill out, right? Don't put him on the IL. Just give him a little bit of a mental break till he collects himself and figures it out. And so now that he's had two or maybe three bad starts in a row, you don't want to like start making him think about himself again. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing if it's physical and it's mechanical and you can fix those things. You can fix physics and mechanics. But when it's like in your head all of a sudden, and if you move him to the bullpen, aren't you, you're demoting him. And you're basically making him question himself. And I don't know if that's the right thing for a guy like Luis Severino. I think he almost needs to figure this thing out. Like, he needs to go through this little lull and come out the other side stronger instead of getting demoted. And then now all of a sudden, you have no idea where his head is at.
So I don't look at it as a demotion. Maybe Luis would feel that way. I look
How
at it.
How could you not look at it as a demotion? Because I'm a starting pitcher. Early in the season, he was the ace. Like, he was the guy, right?
Yes.
And now all of a sudden, you're going to the bullpen?
Because
And he's not going to be the closer. What are you doing?
No, but I don't have to tell Met fans this. The most important outs come at the end of the game, in my opinion. Seventh, eighth, ninth inning, high leverage situations, game on the line when you have to close the door, slam the door. How many games have they blown? We've seen it with Clay Holmes. That's why I would move Heel to the bullpen too. More on the Yankees in a little bit. If you're heading out to the stadium here, obviously the doubleheader after the rainout last night. I don't look at it as a demotion, and I actually think that it gives him a little bit of a mental break, because now he could say, you know what, I don't have to worry about going 5, 6, 7 innings. I don't have to worry about being the ace or the number one guy. Yeah. Now I could be in that Jose Buto role where I only need to go 2 innings. I could let it rip. Maybe my arm's a little tired. The fatigue of reaching an innings limit that I haven't seen in a little bit. That's why I think it might be the right move if you're Mendy.
So I hear what you're saying, but I just feel like, you know, yesterday we were talking about Malik Nabers.
Yes.
And how he's just like that dog. He just feels like it.
Generational talent like me.
Exactly. Or like Shockey when he came in. You just know it. Like, you are the man. And imagine if you went to Malik Nabers after 5 or 6 weeks, and he's good, but he's had some struggles here or there. And you'd be like, you know what, Malik? You're not going to start. You're not going to start this game. You're gonna come in and give us like 5 plays in the second quarter, in the third quarter, things like that. And then we'll go from there. Like, if you do that, you take away like that edge. And I think Seve is at that point in his career where he's been so good in his, you know, early part of his Yankee tenure, where he knows how good he can be. He struggled. He started to bring it back out with this Mets tenure, the early part of this Mets tenure. The last thing you want to do is put him on this yo-yo, because now he starts questioning that, like, I'm the man attitude. And if you don't have that I'm the man attitude as a starting pitcher, it's as close to alpha as you can get, right?
Right.
You are a starting pitcher in a lot of sense, even though probably Manaea is overtaking him now as that ace. But still, in a lot of ways, you are the man for the Mets. And to now demote him, I think it just takes away that edge. It's a psychological, mental edge that athletes have when you know you're the man and everybody around you also knows you're the man. I think you just have to trust him, right? This is where Mendy truly has to have his pulse on Luis Severino. I mean, more than any player, because without starting pitching, this Mets team's going to, it'll struggle at times. Not all games, but it'll struggle at times. And so,
especially with Kodai Senga and Scott Hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So there's no relief.
Yeah.
I mean, the relief is Buto, but you kind of need Buto in the bullpen right now. So I think he's got to do all he can to protect the psyche and the gusto of Luis Severino. And it's hard because he's scuffling right now.
Yeah, and that's why I want it to be like, I think it's Freaky Friday. That's the movie. I want them to just trade roles, because Buto, to me, is the more confident guy, and I don't look at it as a demotion. Perhaps I could call Carlos Mendoza. I do have his number, and we could chat. We could have a positive sort of intervention, because I would phrase it to Luis Severino as, it's not a demotion. We need you at the back end of the bullpen. And Luis may look at it like, man, I'm struggling. Maybe he's already feeling a little down. And we're like, no. We got this great real estate here. We've been struggling in the bullpen, even though it's been a lot better as of late. We're going to put you at the back end, and now we're going to put Buto into the rotation. Because I'm just trying to figure out a way to fix Severino. Because You have to worry a little bit about, you're going to need him, and the innings limit, and as far as just, not innings limit, but throwing more innings because he's been injured a lot throughout his career, and he's starting to do that second half swoon. I'm hearing it from my Yankee fan friends that are like, oh, here's the Sevy we saw with the Yankees. Yep. So I'm trying to brainstorm. I'm trying to turn this negative into a positive. And by the way, I was all for keeping Buto in the bullpen. I didn't want to move him out of there. But my theory is just trading roles, because I think Buto could give you more now in the rotation, especially with Senga down, especially with Scott hurt. And the rotation, obviously, Minaya has been great. Quintana, Islesar was okay, but he's been really good. So I want to strengthen the rotation. But ultimately, it's about getting Luis Severino figured out. And you talked about that stuff with Mentally, because a lot of people have accused Luis Severino of ducking the Yankees this year. Remember, Mendoza switched around things, and it ended up being right because he was great against the Cubs and he was great against the Marlins. But there were those conspiracy theorists that thought, well, Luis Severino, Carlos Mendoza, they didn't want him facing the Yankees because for whatever reason, maybe mentally, he couldn't handle it, and they didn't want to wreck him and start him down this path. So he's now starting to slip a little bit. So my mindset is, you know what? Throw him in the rotation. Throw him in the bullpen. Buto, who's been great, and he's been giving you a lot of innings, and they were stretching him out anyway a couple weeks ago. Put him in the rotation and give him a spark. 888-808-1019. And of course, last night it was that typical Coors Field wacky game. A few things that I've never seen before in a baseball game. Now, I openly will admit this. I am not Evan, who is. I don't watch every single second of every single game of every single team in baseball. So perhaps this stuff has happened. But just for me, watching the game last night, there was the one play, which was a comedy of errors. Even positive Tommy will admit it was a comedy of errors.
Yeah, it was.
That when Chris Bryant, he hit the single or the single double, he can't run it out. They overthrow somebody. Vientos botches it. Severino doesn't back up. It was the Keystone Cops, and then it fell in the netting, which they brought it up on the broadcast, which should be fixed. That should not be a thing.
Right? How is that even broken? I don't understand. Unless somebody just didn't notice it. Someone fell into it. Someone threw a bat into whatever, and it was broken, and nobody noticed.
Yeah, and the Mets shouldn't have been penalized. That was the first thing.
I mean, the rule's the rule.
The second thing is, and I'm sure somebody's going to point this out. I'm sure there's a Met. I'm sure there's multiple guys, but I think it was Freeland, right? That was the Rockies pitcher last night. And Tiki will appreciate this, because a lot of people don't know this about Tiki. I didn't know this about Tiki before I started working with him. Tiki's got a lot of ink. This guy is tatted from, I haven't seen him head to toe, but he's got a lot more tattoos than you think. Freeland had the arm sleeve. Like, I've never seen a starting pitcher with an arm sleeve. And I question this. Isn't that a distraction for the hitters? How is the pitcher allowed to have an arm sleeve, right? We worry so much about distractions. And this, it, to the point where when they had a mound visit because he had the blister, I'm sitting there going, is that their right fielder? And then I'm like, holy crap, that's their starting pitcher. He's got ink. He looks like he should be riding a Harley. So I'm like, come on now. That's got to be a distraction. So that's the other one, Tiki. And then this one was, to me, the best. So I think I was in and out. I'm
but
like,
it's not on his pitching arm.
No, but it's in when you're just sitting there batting, right. And then you see
Now I'm trying to think. So he's a lefty.
Yes.
So you're a lefty.
So it's his right arm.
So it's his right arm, which is facing the batter.
Yeah.
And so as he winds up and he throws the arm out there, I mean, maybe if it was really cold. Now I got to go look at his arm.
Yeah.
Now I got to go down the rabbit hole and look at his arm.
I'm actually being that serious. I'm surprised Major League Baseball doesn't make him cover that up with a sleeve.
Well, sometimes he wears sleeves. A lot of times he has sleeves on.
Yeah, if it's a little colder, you're playing in Colorado where it's 90 degrees one day and 40 degrees the next day. So the weather is wacky in Colorado. But I've never seen that before. I think Sean Reed Foley, whose mustache is in the Nazi killing business, has ink. I'm not memorizing how many guys have tattoos, but just to see that on a pitcher, I thought he was the left fielder. I'm like, this is the starting pitcher? He's got ink head to toe. Now, while you're down that rabbit hole, another thing that I've never seen before. There was a rain delay last night, and if you sneezed, you missed it.
Yes.
There was a 9-minute rain delay. Yeah. What? Wait a second. I thought there were rules where if you go to a rain delay, it has to be, this is what my people tell me, I thought it has to be a certain amount of time. Like it has to be 40 or 50 minutes by rule. Like you can't have a 9-minute rain delay. That's not a rain delay. That's like basically going to take a tinkle. 9 minutes. So I didn't understand that. And then during the rain delay, they got the bros in the bleachers with their shirt off. They're playing It's Raining Men by the Village People. And the bros are swinging their shirts around. And I'm like, can we get through this 9-minute rain delay? And some of the guys look like they should probably have their shirts off. And then you had some other dudes where I'm like, please. Now, Gary and Keith are getting a kick out of that. And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, this is what happens. It's like the XFL going to Colorado. The games are wacky. They're nutty. Everything is just a mess. The grass is wet. And you had one of those, like, crazy-ass games. And, again, runners in scoring position, they couldn't get things done. And as you know, Tiki, I am positive. Tommy,
you
and
are?
I will not say anything negative about the Mets, but I've been handed a note. So, as positive Tommy, I think I could read a note, whether it's positive or negative. It's just not me saying it. This is not my opinion from positive Tommy. This is just a note I've been handed to, and I'm just going to read it. Mark Vientos can't play third base. Okay, so that's a note I got. That was not positive Tommy. That was a note I was handed, and the note,
why?
Again...
Because of the error where he tried to... You know, flip it into his glove, and it just went. It went into the hole in the net. Is that why?
I didn't write the note, but if I had to, and I don't even know, it just was handed to me. I would assume the person that wrote that note watched Vientos over the last couple of weeks, and he's struggling a little bit at third base. Whether he's a DH first base, he's not gonna be first base. Pete's the first baseman, but whether it's a DH because JD or whatever, but Vientos is going through it at third base. So the person, whoever wrote this note, is pretty spot on with that. 888-808-1019. Did you find anything out here with the Yankee?
It's all
working feverishly.
Yeah, I am. I am all. It's all like baseball related stuff. Well, some of it is, I guess, is whoever Ashley is. I don't know if it's his girlfriend or whatever.
Oh.
But he has a 60-6 tattooed on his wrist, obviously, for 60 feet 6 inches.
Sure.
The distance of the rubber.
Like it.
For rubber to the plate.
Like it.
He, on this, on the ulna, which is the forearm bone.
Forearm for you normal people.
It is the Rocky Mountains.
Okay.
It's like a Rocky Mountain range.
I always thought the Rocky Mountains would be a lot rockier.
Right, which is pretty dope. It's actually kind of a cool tattoo.
Yeah.
Because the way it fits right down is his forearm. He has the letters AKB. Which is interesting because you sent that in down my night rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Because those are my initials. A team Kiambu Barber.
Whoa!
Now, the A is for his wife, Ashley.
Of course.
K is for Kona, who is their golden retriever. And B is for Benny. They have a black shepherd.
Nice.
He also has a big clock. I forget.
What, like Big Ben?
Yeah, it was the marking the time when he got and date of the draft.
No, that's awesome. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not knocking the guy. I love it. I love the stories of the tattoos because,
right.
Teak, when you were playing when I was in high school, all the bros had the barbed wire around the bicep.
Yes,
that means nothing. There's a bunch of 50 and 60-year-old guys right now that have a crazy tan and their muscles are gone and they look like idiots with barbed wire tattoos. And then I won't say it on the radio what it was called, but a lot of females back in the day used to have the tattoo over the buttocks.
Yeah, they all have it.
I won't say the word in front of it, but there was a word.
There was a stamp.
And then a stamp. And as they said in Wedding Crashers, might as well be a bullseye. So that was
Mookie!
Correct, exactly. Those are the most popular tats I know when I was growing up and when you were playing Teak. But that's good. That wasn't even the rabbit hole I want to send you down. There was another.
This was a good one, though.
This was a good one.
I love tattoos. You're right. I have a whole bunch of them. None of mine you can see.
The little one on your bicep.
Right, that's the one you can see. It's the infinity sign on the inside of my bicep with me and my wife's initials. So
love it.
Other than that, you can't see them.
Absolutely. Now, have you ever covered up or changed one, or is there a regrettable one? Or
Well, yes, because I got an Aries. So I'm an Aries, mm-hmm. born in April. So I have an Aries, like a ram head, but it's long. It's more, looks more like a dagger on my shoulder. And I want it because my brother has the actual ram's head on his hip.
Oh, Rondé's got some ink too.
Oh, dude, Rondé's got
really
tons of ink.
Yeah, the real bad Tiki.
He's got almost
Barber.
A sleeve, right?
I didn't know that. All right, nice.
So he got a ram on his hip, and I wanted one. And so I didn't want to do the exact one that he did, so I decided just to get the like the zodiac sign ram without the stem, just the zodiac sign, which is basically an open V, right? And I wanted it, and Rondé had fire all in his thing. It was badass.
That is badass.
And it's on his hip. And so I was like, yeah, I'll do that too. And I got it, and it looked dainty. You know what I mean? Like it looked.
Do I know dainty? Have you seen me? I know a lot about dainty.
It looked dainty, and my wife was like, "With the red flame, it looks like fallopian tubes." I was like, "All right,
not exactly badass running back in the NFL. We got fallopian tubes."
Right,
on
so
you.
I was like, I went to Paula, who's my tattoo artist. I'm like, Paula, we got to change.
Shout
this.
Out to Paula.
So she put a badass like black. like full ram head on my hand.
Oh, nice.
So that one. So that's the only one that I had to get covered.
I love it. All right. 888-808-1019. Lugie and Lightning, Tommy and Tiki on Evan and Tiki here. I got another rabbit hole I want to send Tiki down that I heard during the Met game last night. We will get into the Yankees. I actually have a fun little notes who I want to talk about with the Yankees here. We'll get into the Yankee lineup, obviously. You will hear game one of a traditional doubleheader here on The Fan coming up at 3:25. But let's squeeze in a few of your calls here. Let's go to Carmen in Linden, New Jersey. What's up, Carmen?
What's up, Carmen?
Hey, Lugie and Tiki. Tiki, I just want to say I really enjoyed when I'm a big Giants fan, and I loved when you played.
Thank you, man.
I enjoyed watching you. And I enjoyed seeing your brother Rondé play as well.
Yeah, he was.
And
all
I just
right.
want to say, yeah, he was.
What he ever
he
do?
Was okay. Yeah, I mean, nothing like you.
Yeah,
but
they mistakenly put him in the Hall of Fame instead of me. I'm just joking.
But the other thing is, and even more importantly than that, I love the way you act and the way you are on the show.
Thank you, man. I'm just myself, man.
You're not a know-it-all.
I try to have fun, but when I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
No, but you come across as a regular guy. Somebody you could have a beer with or something, and you wouldn't feel inferior.
Come on, let's bring some brown liquor. Let's go throw down. I'm just kidding, Carter. What you got for us?
I appreciate you as a man. Thank you. And, Lugie, I want to say to you, I also wanted to say everything that you said today was like you were taking the words right out of my mouth.
Well, I am positive, Tommy. I'm the leader of Met fans, so I think I'm like-minded and share the positive thoughts of all Met fans. And so you agree with me on Severino, Carmen?
Well, that was the first thing, but you're not going to believe this. I'm a Yankee fan, but I love to watch the Mets play. Well, I've always been this way. I'm 75 years old.
Sure, and you like Luis Severino because he played for the Yankees, so you have a soft spot, which I think a lot of Yankee fans do have a soft spot.
No. You got it wrong.
I got it wrong?
I like the Mets because I like to see New Yorkers win, even though I'm from Jersey. And if you listen, there's a promo that has my voice saying, I would love to see the Yankees and the Mets in the World Series. And the Yankees winning in 7. That's on your...
Well, Carmen, you speak for yourself there. I would not like to see that. I already saw that once, not in a game 7, so I would not like to see that. But yes, I do think if you miss it, if you're just tuning in now, you're just getting in the car, you're heading out to Yankee Stadium, or you're driving wherever you're driving, I think Luis Severino and I think Carlos Mendoza, and this would take a little bit of chutzpah, but I would put Luis Severino into the bullpen, and I would move Buto to the rotation. That's what I would do, because Severino's going through it a little bit right now. He's reaching that innings point where he's been injured a little bit, and now he's reaching spots where I think you're seeing the struggles over the last couple starts. Those outs at the end of the games are still important. I don't think it's a demotion, and I think it will get him back on track. And then you could always move him back into the rotation if you want, but if he excels there, keep him there. And I think that's what I would do if I was Mendy. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Jimmy in Staten Island. What's up?
Hi, how you doing?
What's up, man?
I just want to let you know, I was listening to the radio, first-time caller.
Thank you, man.
Talking about that rainout that you said was 9 minutes. And the actual rule is a rainout can be resumed at any time.
A rain delay, yeah.
A rain delay, but they can't postpone the game at least 30 minutes.
Gotcha. So if they, okay, I see what you're saying. So if they realize that they're going to bang it, they still have to wait the 30 minutes, then they say, all right, we're done.
By rule, they have to wait 30 minutes, but they can wait longer if they feel
of course.
The window.
Yeah, no, I got you. I appreciate you clarifying that, Jimmy, because I heard that because I was hosting a show, as I do on the weekends here, because I am the future. I'm a generational talent. And we had a rain delay, and some of my flunkies that work for me out there in the newsroom, they were telling me that, yeah, you know, you're at least going to sit here for 30, 40 minutes before they restart the game, because I was wondering at what time I'd be on after the game. So that's where I knew that it was in the back of my mind. And that's why last night I was like, 9 minutes? I thought you had to wait 40 minutes. All right. So I appreciate you clarifying that. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Lugie and Lightning here on Evan and Tiki. By the way, and I got to say this, and I like, because I I have to comment on this stuff. You know me. I like reading a lot of stuff on social media. I have fun with it. I laugh. I chuckle. It gives me stuff to do when I'm going home on the train. I had people yesterday that were saying, number one, I'm trying to take Evan's job. I put Evan over so much. All I said was, I think he should let Pete Hoffman, the great producer, he has 500 kids. You got him up at 2 in the morning doing stupid, I shouldn't say stupid. You got him up doing Rico Bronya podcasts. When you're on vacation, let him do it. So, Teak, I go last night. These two idiots, these two chooches, are doing a drunk Rico Bronya last night, which was fitting, I guess, for the game. But they're spewing the negativity. So I love Evan. I'm just having a little fun. That's number one.
Now I got to listen to that one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I forget when he's on vacation that he does the Rico, because I always listen to it. I told you, because I want to know what he's going to talk about with us.
Yeah, and now you're just like,
he's on vacation. I wanted to talk to him.
Loogie's going to talk about tattoos and dudes with their shirts off and the girls in the
Loogie!
Front. So it's a little bit different
and that
show.
Little stamp on the back of the, back.
Yeah, a little stamp. Might as well be a bullseye here. Okay. That's number one. Number two, people were calling me out. They were like, oh, you took top billing, Loogie and Lightning. Well, it was Thunder and Lightning. That's why I took over for Ron Dayne. I'm now Thunder. I'm Loogie and Lightning. Oh, what are you, nuts? You think I'm going to take over? And then I did Tiki and Tommy. But when people don't like you, or I don't say nice things about their team, they just have a personal agenda. It's Loogie and Lightning because it was Thunder and Lightning. Mm. All right. School's over.
By the way, I look at it the other way anyways, because yes. I know that the first name is always the headline, but it's the back name that's the anchor.
I like that. That's a mic drop right there. 888-808-1019.
If I was holding my mic, I would drop it, but it's on a stand, so it's just still sitting there.
Eddie Murphy style. All right. So there's another rabbit hole I want to send Tiki down. We will get into everything going on with the Yankees as we march on towards pregame coming up in about an hour or so right here on The Fan. Coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, 2:35 here on The Fan. Loogie and Lightning here on Evan and Tiki. Tommy Lugauer, Tiki Barber. And I'm about to send Tiki down another rabbit hole here because I'm sitting there, I'm watching the Mets game last night. And I've told you, I know a lot about sports. I watch sports, but I don't know everything. So each time I watch a game, I hear something or see something that I've never seen before. So I'm sitting there on the couch last night, relaxing after just, a great show yesterday. And I'm watching the Met game, and my wife, who never, ever, ever, ever watches sports with me, like literally ever. And I've told you this before. She has no idea where I work. She just knows I leave for 8 hours, and I get home, and she's like, how was your day? I was like, it was great. So I could be doing anything. She has no idea. She could care less about sports. But for whatever reason, she was sitting on the couch watching the Mets game. And then she starts asking me dumb questions. And I go to her, I said, I just answered a million questions at my job. Do I need to answer your questions? The first question she asked me, because Seve plunked somebody, and I guess Gary went, oh, yeah, that's the 10th person he's hit all year, or this year. And she goes, is that a lot? I go, well, how many? She's like, 10. I go, yeah, I don't know. I don't keep track of this. I'm like, so I think...
It's not something I've ever thought of thinking about.
Ever.
Seriously. I'm like, you should have... How many guys have you hit this year?
Yes. Marry Evan Roberts next time, and he'll have that answer for you readily and available. I have no idea. And then she goes, well, how does he hit the guy? I go, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, how do you do it? I go, because you missed your target? I don't know. How the heck do I know? I'm not a... I guess he just misses his target. I think she was trying to get to the point of, why does he keep hitting people? And then, like I said, call or email the Rico Bronya, and Evan will answer you that. I don't know. All right. So she's sitting there next to me, and she goes... And they're at Coors Field, and she goes, did you just see that fun fact they showed on the screen? I go, no. I was looking down at my phone or whatever. Apparently, and I didn't know this, and I looked it up, and there's articles on this. There's like a, 100-million-pound Triceratops skull underneath Coors Field. Apparently, Coors Field was built basically over Jurassic Park. There are, like, dinosaur bones and skeletons.
Are you serious?
Apparently, well, I went down the rabbit hole a little bit last night to make sure I wasn't getting ball sack
sports. You know why that's surprising? Because there hasn't been a lot of dinosaur fossils found relative to how many dinosaurs there obviously had to have been before they were mass extincted, or the mass extinction event. We just haven't found a ton of them. So the fact there's a baseball...
Yeah, they're hiding under Coors Field. That's
like
where they are.
Underneath?
I found
them. Are you serious?
I guess.
By the way, 10 hit batsmen is
down this rabbit
ninth.
Hole.
In Major League Baseball, the most is Hunter Green, the pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, for those who don't know, has 17. 17.
All right, so then the dinosaur thing. So it's not that many. I'll be sure
You're
to...
welcome, then.
My wife, who's completely forgotten about the conversation by now. She's moved on to some other chaotic thing. My wife, the real-life Cosmo Kramer, she said something to me last night, which I will save for Friday because we have a longer-winded show, Tiki and I, so I will save it for then. But, yeah, so apparently there's dinosaurs and dinosaur bones or stuff like that. There's a million articles written on it, so I couldn't believe it. I thought she was, like, joking. I'm like, what are you talking about? Now, it got me thinking, of course... And I don't think this is even debatable. The best dinosaur movie is the original Jurassic Park. I know they've made like 900 of them, but I think the best dinosaur movie is Jurassic Park.
Was there any other movie?
For Jurassic Park?
Other than Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, there were several. There were several.
I mean, I know there were several Jurassic Parks.
No, dinosaur movies. Yeah,
really?
including one that I was going to bring up because I forgot who said this, but someone on this station besmirched The Land Before Time. And this is why I'm the future. This is why I'm a generational talent. There will be no slander of The Land Before Time on my watch. That
generational
was,
talent.
Of course, thank you, BT. BT even knows it. I loved that movie as a kid. I think it still holds up. It's great. Now, it's a cartoon, but, I mean, there are no real dinosaurs, so it doesn't matter if it's CGI or cartoon. And then, Teak...
You know why it was so great?
Why was it so great?
It lasted for 28 years.
Yes, exactly.
28
right.
years.
As cartoons often have those great shelf lives.
Yes.
And they hold up. So I forgot who it was, but they were besmirching The Land Before Time, saying it doesn't hold up.
That's because they've lost their inner child.
Yes.
They've lost that joy of doing kid things.
Whimsical.
They're whimsical in this.
Yeah, they're whimsical in this.
They don't want to frolic any longer.
They're frolicking in their whimsicalness, and they need to have a whimsical intervention, which we can do as soon as I figure out who the hell said it. And then, of course, not a movie, but there's the TV show. This was when I was growing up on TGIF, right? Thank God it's Friday, which was obviously Family Matters and Full House and Perfect Strangers and on and on and on. But you had the TV show Dinosaurs. Remember that one, T? Not the mama.
It was like animatration almost.
Yes.
I remember that one.
It was a bunch of people that basically, you know, flunked out of wherever they went and they were in our suit.
That's essentially my daughter, my 8-year-old now. We always talk about, hey, Tegan, mommy and daddy might want another baby. She's like, no, I'm the baby.
Not the mama. Now, let me just say this. I forgot the fella's name. I forgot the dinosaur's name. But this poor guy, and this is why the show's relatable. He was a blue-collar, regular man. He's working a 9-to-5. His boss was a total you-know-what. He was a jerk. This poor guy comes home. All he wants is his dinosaur food when he gets home. And he's got this snot-nosed brat kid hit him over the head with something.
Not the mama.
Shut up.
Not the mama.
Shut up. You wouldn't be here without me. This poor guy, and he didn't know this, but he was about to be extinct. You know what I mean? You're going to be gone. Everybody's going to be wiped out. And you got this brat sitting there going, not the mama. I'm the baby. What the heck is that about? Now, great show. Had a really dark ending. Spoiler alert. I mean, dinosaurs. I mean, you could probably figure out what the ending was. We all know what the ending is.
Unfortunately.
But, I mean, what a pain in the ass kid he was. And then, dinosaurs underneath Coors Field. Now, that would give me the heebie-jeebies.
Right.
That's just me if I'm playing on that field, that I know the ghosts of a Tyrannosaurus Rex or a raptor are underneath the field.
Well, apparently, just for those that want to know, the ending of Dinosaurs was meteoric. It was amazing.
Meteoric. Was that a
meteor hit the...
Oh, it was meteor. Yes. I'm bad at dad jokes. Anytime Sean does a dad joke, I'm sitting there, maybe because I'm not a dad.
You're lost.
I'm lost. You know what, Teak? We have great synergy here. Because one of the things I wanted to get into here, 888-808-1019, Aaron Boone, right? He does Talking Yanks. He does, like, I think he still does the weekly spot with mm-hmm. them. And John Boy, who are great. The guys from Talking Giants were here today, Bobby, Justin.
Yep.
They're going to be dropping something next week with Tiki. Great guys, John Boy. Love
Coming
those guys.
Soon. Loogie gets a shout out.
Loogie, they put over my shtick. And all those guys all those guys over at John Boy are great because they're self-made. They really created something for themselves. And I have all the world and respect for guys like that because I'm sure that people are like, oh, you don't deserve to be this, that, and the other. And they've stuck it to everybody, and they're super popular, famous. All right, I've kissed their ass enough. So they had Aaron Boone on, and Aaron Boone. Now, the beard rule, which I've been critical of, I think it's stupid. It's not the Navy. Let these guys grow their beard out.
This, for those who are not watching us on SNY, because we're not on SNY today, Loogie has a beard.
I have a beard. Now, it's not the Evan beard. It's more like, you know, closer to the face.
Nice.
Yeah.
Put together.
Very put
it's
together.
It's taken care of, you can tell, on a daily or semi-daily basis.
Absolutely. You don't get like this without putting time and care into it. So, apparently, Aaron Boone. So, I guess, guys, it's weird because Stanton has a little bit of the soul patch. And then other guys have the mustache.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess at times when you have too much of the shadow going, I don't know what the where they start to like draw the line of that's like the 5 o'clock shadow and a beard. But apparently Aaron Boone will use dad jokes to remind them to shave.
What?
I swear. One of them.
Right, so if you're just like, oh man, I had a long night. I just didn't have time to get up and shave today.
Bender.
Right. Some of these guys will grow a full beard mm-hmm. in a day.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
It could get deep before a day.
Yeah.
Before the game, he's going to send him down into the dugout. He's taking BP. Hey, yo, I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody who has a... Who's Rodon.
Yeah.
Hey, Rodon, man. Why don't you head back in the locker room and clean that thing up? Like, yeah. What's he doing? Like, what's he saying to
so,
him? He's like, I'm Skip. I'm not pitching today.
What I was told was one of the jokes, and I'm paraphrasing, which I guess is tougher for jokes, but one of the things he'll say is he'll come up to a guy and he'll go, hey, is your shoulder bothering you? And they're like, no, it's not bothering me. And he's like, oh, good, then you could shave your face. which, I don't know even if that's a dad joke or just, and I like Aaron Boone, big fan of Loogie, so of course I love Aaron Boone, but I don't think that's funny, but I do
I
understand.
Like that,
oh, you liked it. All right, so maybe it is a dad joke. Maybe you have to be a little bit older to appreciate that, but yeah, I think the beard thing should go away, and I get tradition, and I get the Yankees, it separates themselves, and I'm all for it, and I understand that they base a lot of what they do on tradition. They should. They have the best history of any team in the history of sports, so I understand leaning on that, but I just think the beard thing, because, and I brought it up with Rodon, I felt like when he had a beard, he pitched well, and it's not about, like, you know, putting out good vibes. I just think sometimes you're just comfortable. You're just comfortable. Maybe like, all right, you go by Tiki. That makes you comfortable, whatever. And they take that away from you. It might take a little bit of your mojo away. So I just wish the Yankees would ditch that. And I think a lot of Yankee fans actually agree with that. I think they think it's a little old hat. Maybe it's a generational thing. The older Yankee fan loves it because they've known that their whole entire lives. And the younger fan is like, the heck with it. I have a beard. I'd rather them have a beard. 888-808-1019. And you will get Yankee baseball here coming up at 325. Game one of a traditional doubleheader here against the Angels. All right, let's go to Nick in Franklin Square. What's up, Nick?
Loogie, how are you?
All's good, man.
What's up?
All right, quick question. So last night, the Mets obviously had a rough night at the plate. And in the sixth and seventh inning was our biggest chance to score. And the number one player who I feel like has been hitting well and has always hit well at Coors Field is Brendan Nimmo. So, Loogie, do you feel like it would benefit the Mets at all to drop him down one or two spots in the lineup to maybe get a chance to drive in a couple more?
So you want to put Nimmo, like, in the middle of the order, whether it be third or fourth, just here for this series.
I mean, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, JD's been terrible.
Last night we couldn't buy a hit. Like, we had great opportunities in the sixth and the seventh. Winker, he's pinch hitting first freaking pitch, and he's grinding.
In the double play, yeah. Right. And Nimmo had that double that they cut off.
Pitch. He swung at first pitch,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah, first and third, I think after the Iglesias hit.
How do you feel about that, Loogie?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's like I said, Mendy has, how do I feel about it? I don't have an issue with it, but then I got to look at the lineup and see where you're hitting. If you want to hit Iglesias second, you want to move Nimmo to third. And Nimmo was struggling a little bit, and he sort of woke up against Anaheim, and the pitcher on Friday, I think it was Anderson, he had success off him throughout his career, and that seemed to get Brandon going. And Brandon had the hit last night where the outfielder cut it off. It looked like it was going to go to the wall and Lindor was going to score.
Yeah.
But I think because of the wet grass, it kind of slowed up. But I don't have a problem with that. We saw it. You move Pete to fifth. I have no problem with that. I suggested moving Severino to the bullpen. Now, this is obviously something more for just this series, but I don't have an issue with that. Putting your hotter guys in the middle of the order, mixing things up a little bit, as long as it makes sense as far as the order goes. I'm not crazy with batting average. Back in the day, Teak, it was like, all right, the fast guy's the leadoff, the guy that hits the right, the best hitter is second, the best hitter's third, your power hitter that looks like he rips heaters and, you know, drinks beers, bats fourth. Like, that's not really the way baseball is anymore. So if you want to move your hot hitter to the middle of the order, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I could be okay with it as well, but the last thing you want to do is just moving it around to move it around sake on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah.
Then it becomes disjointed.
Right.
And nobody has like an idea of what their role is.
Their identity.
Right, what their identity is. But the challenge is you have these guys. Alonso's been one, obviously, because we've talked about it a lot, with his, you know, sub 200 runners in scoring position batting average. But J.D. Martinez, as of late, has been terrible, too. Right?
He's been scuffling.
Hitting around 200.
Outside of the homer the other night on Saturday, the Grand Slam,
right.
he's been having a rough go.
He's having a rough go of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got to get himself right. Alonso obviously has to, as we were talking about. Otherwise, games like this one against bad teams who they should be beating, albeit on the road, and it's tough. You know, the ball just fly. Cave's ball just kept flying. It never stopped rising.
Sure did.
And gets over left center.
Yep.
Right. If you're gonna have days where your pitching is gonna not be horrible but let you down, you got to score runs. And the Mets just aren't in consistent enough mode to do that, especially if they're behind.
Yeah. So for, I'd say, about a month, maybe a little less, the entire lineup. And this is why I defend guys like Alonso and I defend guys like Lindor, because I think sometimes they're the poster children for this stuff. We talked about it yesterday, Teak. They're the nail, we're the hammer, and you just need a guy to yell at. But as a team, they haven't been hitting with runners in scoring position. So as a collective unit for almost a month now, they haven't really been getting the big hit. So this idea that this guy is in clutch, that guy is in clutch, it's really been the entire lineup. Now, the lineup was great, and they were great in June, and I think they're just going through it right now, and they will bounce back because we've seen the potential of it. But that's why I try to defend guys like that. But even through all of that, they're a game and a half out of a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Game and a half.
You're right. And so as rough as it's been, they're still in it. And
of course.
You know, you just start looking. The problem right now for the Mets is that the Padres and the Diamondbacks just can't lose.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what.
But that'll even out.
I hope so.
And the Braves have lost three in a row, Teague.
The Braves look like the vulnerable team right now.
Exactly. So my thinking is, at least one of those teams will go south. Like, the Padres weren't playing well. The Diamondbacks weren't playing well. Now they're hot, like the Mets were hot. All these teams will go through the peaks and valleys. So it's a long way from being over. The season is not over. It's just beginning. I told you yesterday, I've been telling you, if you follow me on social media or you hear me here on the Lou Gower on the weekends, that the Mets are going to be playing postseason baseball, and I fully believe that. Now, another Yankee note here, okay? Clark Schmidt, remember him? He felt great, quotes, felt great after a live BP session at Yankee Stadium on the mound yesterday. So there's another thing I've been saying for months, and I brought it up here with Sevy, and I'll say it here for the Yankees. I would move, and Heel is pitching in the first game here, he's starting. I would move Heel to the bullpen. And the reason I would do that is, number one, you're getting Schmidt back. You have Cole. You have Rodon. You have Nestor. You have Stroman. You have a really good rotation with guys that have some hardware, been in all-star games. Clay Holmes has a role on this team, but as a closer, a guy that doesn't miss bats, a guy that there's a lot of variables, like a lot of things have to go right for Clay Holmes to get a save. He's blown a million saves. If you bring in Heel with the back end where you could get like two innings out of him and he's throwing gas, swing and miss, electric stuff, that is an crazy weapon for Aaron Boone to use, come October.
Yeah, I mean, you hope so. You hope so, but I feel like the decisions, and this is where I wish we had more clarity on, like, Aaron Boone's real power and decision. Right. You know what I mean?
Good luck finding that out.
And we never will, because like what you're saying is right, and of course you should do that. But does he have the leeway to do it? And like, does he have the will he be allowed to let that gut feel make that decision and get away with it.
Yeah, see, I do think that is an organizational decision.
It definitely is.
Yeah, because there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there that Cashman runs the show. I'm here. I hate to break it to you, but that's baseball. General managers have a lot of say. Managers have lost their power year after year after year. It's organizational decisions. And you're talking about Heal, a young, budding superstar pitcher. What you do with him in a season like this where the Yankees, I think, are as good as it gets in baseball, and you are obviously going to October, you're probably going to win the division because I think the Orioles are frauds. You have to make that kind of decision. But I just think back, and I'm not comparing him to this guy, but I'm saying I think of Mariano into Wetland, and I think about what Heal could do in the back end. And I know he's been a great starting pitcher, and I know it sounds crazy, but you're getting Schmidt back. You have the reigning AL Cy Young. You have Rodon. You have Stroman, Cortez. You have enough in that rotation. And remember, yeah, they got lighter, but Cashman didn't do a lot at the deadline as far as relievers go, and that was the biggest need. Perhaps they're already thinking that they're going to move Heal to the bullpen.
I mean, maybe. I mean, it may be. And I don't want to say that's definite because I think Heal is a fantastic starting pitcher.
Yes.
And after that little, I don't know, bump, it was like maybe three games, where he felt off.
Yeah, one against the Mets. Right. Yeah, he had a couple there.
Yeah, exactly. But he feels back. Actually, both of them against the Mets. But he feels like he's back to what he was. And he's pitching at this ridiculously high level. And I know his innings pitched is like way above what everybody thought it would be. I mean, I think coming into the season, we thought, maybe he'll get to 80, 90. He's at 112.
Right, and the Yankees have been coy about whether or not he has a pitch innings limit. We don't really even know if they do or don't. So that could factor into this decision as well, by the way, moving him to the pen.
At this point, I can't say that he does. I mean, there's no way. He started 21 games. Like, there's no way he has a pitch limit right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's he got? 9 more?
Right.
Maybe?
Right.
So, all right, with 9 games in your season left, we're gonna pull you back. That doesn't make any sense. They would have done it, you know, 6 or 7 starts ago.
Sure. I just think if you ask any Yankee fan, any realistic Yankee fan, and you said, all right, this team obviously is rocking and rolling. They've been great since the trade deadline. Obviously, the addition of Jazz and guys like Wells stepping up, and he's batting cleanup today. We'll get you the full lineup here. Volpe, Stanton, Dominguez coming back. This lineup's going to be deep. I gave you the guys in the rotation. Your biggest concern is the bullpen.
Yeah.
Specifically Holmes, but really on a whole. Mm-hmm. And I just think adding an arm like that, an electric arm like that, to face the Astros, to face Cleveland, that is going to be such a great weapon for Aaron Boone to have at the bench. And like I said, they might have already made that decision with Schmidt coming back, and he'll be back soon. They might have already made that decision based on what they did at the deadline and not adding all these relievers that were going everywhere, basically throughout the day. All right, now, before we go to break here, 888-808-1019, Tiki, would you like to hear a dad joke?
Yes, let's hear it.
All right, here we go. Anthony, it's your time to shine. Anthony, number one, is it clean? Can we say this on the radio?
Yes, make sure we're clean.
Anthony. Is this the dad joke, by the way?
Yeah. Yes. Hey, what's up, Anthony?
How you doing?
We're good.
Long time listener, first time caller. So I used to work as a machinist, and I worked with an older Swiss guy.
Okay.
And he was very precise and precision and everything. And I didn't feel the need to have to shave every day. So he did. And when I would come in with a little bit of stubble, he'd give me this. You need to take one step closer to the razor next time.
Is that the joke?
That was the joke.
All right. Well, it sucked. It sucked. And there's nothing wrong. You seem like a nice fella. This will be a WFAN Reddit post. Loogie's mean. But the joke stunk. And not all my jokes are great. 99.99% of them are brilliant. But like, there is 0.1% that are bad. Dad jokes by nature are bad, but they're good bad.
They're
good. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
they're so bad, they're funny.
They're funny when you think about them.
Yes.
Right? They're so, because they're
ironic.
In context. Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly right. You got to take one step closer to the race.
Oh, now Tiki's going to work himself into like thinking it was funny. That was not funny. Maybe perhaps.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of clever.
I agree.
The problem is, like, the step doesn't make sense because, like, if you step, you as a body, including your hand, are collectively going closer to the mirror, not to the razor.
I don't know. I just thought it was horrible. I mean, it was a bad setup, too. I know it's a dad joke, but you have to have a certain type of flair when you're setting up a joke. Anthony, nothing against you, dude. You're a great guy. You sound like a nice fella. Call anytime you want. Not you. You're actually were telling someone else's joke, so I'm not even really getting on you.
Right.
I just thought the joke, not so great. That's it. All right. Can we move on, please? Thank you. All right. 888-808.
That was his first call, man.
Was it?
First call, Tommy.
All right, well, call back. Yeah, three strikes, you're out, though. That's all I'm going to say. You're banned for life if you have two bad calls after that. No, I'm just kidding. All right, 888-881-0019 is the number to call. Loogie and Lightning. Tiki and Tommy. I don't want to have top billing both ones. Here on Evan and Tiki, Yankee pregame coming your way in about a half hour or so, but we still got plenty of your time for your phone calls. We will get into the Yankee lineup and a few other news and notes about the Yankees as they have a traditional doubleheader coming up right here on The Fan against the Angels. Okay, 308 here on The Fan. Loogie and the Lightning. There it is. Tiki and Tommy, Evan and Tiki. Yankee pregame comes your way shortly. Game one of a traditional doubleheader. Yankees and Angels. Now, I have the lineup in my hand here, and we will get to it in 1 second here, but there was a little bit of news in baseball right before we got on the air here, and it made me chuckle. J.D. Davis, that's right, the J.D. Davis, the guy that batted cleanup for the Yankees against the Mets at Yankee Stadium, and he'll go down as a trivia question for years and years to come, solo Jake Diekman from that series, but J.D. Davis has a new home. He's no longer a Yankee, but he's in a place where he will see both the Yankees and Mets this season. J.D. Davis has signed with the Orioles. So, he has a chance to haunt both teams.
Oh, man.
Because remember, the Orioles play the Mets, and then I think the Yankees have one more series with the O's late September. I forgot where it is, but so J.D. Davis with the Orioles, and I mean, J.D. Davis, and look, he's a professional, so I'm telling you what I saw. He had three of the worst at-bats I've ever seen against the Mets when he was batting cleanup. They were non-competitive. Tiki were there. We were basically front row.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a front row seat for it. It was bad.
Yeah, he was whiffing bad. He was unprepared for every pitch. He was like he was guessing.
Yes. Yeah, just no confidence, just ugly swings. And J.D. Davis, who's had his moments, he's a professional hitter. He lands in Baltimore, and we'll see if he comes back to bite the Yankees or the Mets. All right, so I have the lineup for game one here. Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. And I think Tiki and I both do, so I would love to have that. All right,
no
so.
Doubt about it.
Oh, my God. And we're out of here early today. It doesn't have to be 5 o'clock somewhere, baby. We're out of here at 4 o'clock, maybe even a little earlier.
Right.
All right.
You're home.
Home by 4.
That means it's drinkable.
You might be able to. I got to take the stupid mass transit. It might take me 4 hours. All right, so today's lineup. Alex Verdugo leading off, Soto second, Judge third, Wells, Jazz, Chisholm, Volpe, Grisham, Rice, Waldo, and Luis Gil obviously pitching. So there's your lineup, and I look at Wells batting in the cleanup spot, and Wells has been amazing. He's been hot over the last month, and this isn't a J.D. Davis situation. If I had told you, right, that old bit, if I had told you back in, you know, before the season started that we'd be sitting here in August and Wells would be batting cleanup, you'd have said, what the heck? But he's been great.
God, good to have Sean and myself, Morash, who's still out, and we obviously send our prayers to his family.
For sure.
Sean and I, when we were drafting our fantasy team, guess who we got?
Did you?
Austin Wells.
Is he still on your team, Austin?
I don't actually know.
Tiki has no idea who's on the team. Sean could have traded everybody off the team. Tiki hasn't looked at the team since opening night.
I did, actually. I had to put a pitcher into the lineup today. But Austin Wells was on our team originally because we saw the potential.
Yes, absolutely.
Give us some credit for seeing the potential.
Yes, and it is a keeper league. Now, I got to take you inside here, and we'll get into the Yankees here in 1 second. So, yes, Evan Roberts obviously has a fantasy baseball league that he's been running here forever, and there's a lot of guys here that are in the league and a lot of guys that have moved on, but Sean and Tiki co-own a team, and the draft, I'm not kidding, is like 5 hours, and God bless Tiki. I mean, this is the Giants' all-time leading rusher. He sat there the entire time through this draft. Now, Sean was doing the picks, but Tiki was there, and I'm like, this guy is going to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's sitting there listening to Evan draft Wyatt Langford in the fourth round.
You guys had thought I dropped off, and then somebody said something.
I'm like, he's gone. This guy's rich. I mean, he's out of here.
Keep your mouth shut. Keep your name out my mouth. Good luck. You're dead to me. I'm just listening.
Yes.
I'm not participating, but I'm here.
I love baseball. I love fantasy baseball, and I was bored to tears by the third round with these guys. There's no clock on each pick. We should have a pitch clock. There's
By
no
the
clock.
Way, that's what makes it so long.
So it's just
like, you picking? You doing anything? Come on now.
Some of these guys are like Steve Traxel. They're the human rain delay. It's like, just make a pick already. Now, Yankees, their schedule is very easy this month. I mean, they have series coming up. Obviously, this one with the Angels, I believe it's a four-game series. They have the White Sox. I should have looked this up. Did the White Sox win last night? I know they were winning in the sixth inning, and they have lost a million games in a row. Whether they won or not, it doesn't matter. They suck. They are absolutely brutal. So the Yankees have them. They have the Nationals, the Rockies, the Tigers. So the Yankees already have two wins this month. I think the Yankees will win 20 games this month. I think they're going to get fat here. They're clicking at the right time. The lineup is deeper than it's ever been since the trade line, since getting a superstar guy like Jazz, who's really changed the swagger and the moxie. So did Juan Soto, of course. But they needed a little jolt in the arm, and I think Jazz has given that to them. I think they win 20 games. You got the series coming up this weekend that Craig and Susan will do, and you can hear that right here on The Fan. And you know they're sweeping that, and then Craig will claim that he saved the Yankees. That's a lock. Sweep. So I think they're going to win 20 games this month, Tiki.
Yeah, by the way, the White Sox did win last night, finally breaking that. What was it, 21?
Oh, who knows?
21 games?
They have.
Lost in a row? I think it was 21 games they lost in a row. Now they are 28-88 after beating the A's 5-1.
They have like 50 blown saves this year. They are so bad. Right. But yes, congratulations to the White Sox.
Yeah, but I mean, look, the Yankees have a fortuitous stretch coming up right now. And it feels like, I don't want to like overemphasize what it means to bring in a guy like Jazz Chisholm, but it changed this team.
Yep.
It makes it very hard to find a hole. Right now, there's some guys will just underperform because whatever, they just underperform. But there was points in this year where you felt like, just don't let Soto or Judge beat you.
Mm-hmm. Luis Severino said it.
Yes.
And he was right.
And he was absolutely right. And that is no longer the case anymore for the Yankees. And I don't want to just like put it all on Jazz, but he's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Austin Wells, who we were just talking about, is a big part of this. In fact, we were screaming 2 weeks ago when J.D. Davis was batting cleanup. I know you want to give Austin Wells a break because he just caught maybe a couple days in a row, or maybe even three. I think he caught 3 days in a row. So he needed a break. Great. Don't let him squat for nine innings. Let him DH.
Right. Especially with the way the lineup was.
Let him DH and hit cleanup.
Definitely.
Where you can't throw these two guys who are no longer on the team.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Davis and Jones.
Right.
Yeah.
Jamai Jones and JD Davis. You can't put them around your two best hitters and expect anything positive is going to happen. So simply by adding one more option for Aaron Boone, you made this team better. And you saw it immediately.
100%.
Immediately.
And this is where you got it. And I watch Jazz a lot because obviously I'm a Met fan and I saw the Marlins a lot and I've seen him. And this guy is a rock star. This guy's a superstar. I think he got maybe, and I know Miami had some success when he was there, but I just think he got a little bit checked out. I mean, look, let's just say this. We don't have the time for it. But if I started listing things in Miami that are better to do than going to a Marlins game, I'd run out of ink.
Right, including for the players.
Correct.
That are getting paid to go to the game.
South Beach, let's go here. You'd run out of ink. So you could get a little checked out. There's no fans. It's like going to a Net game. I mean, there's a couple of tourists there and that's it. Here's what I would say about Jazz. If you remember before the trade, there was that like stupid report where, oh, the Yankees might not trade for Jazz because they don't think he'll fit in this clubhouse.
Yeah.
And which is ridiculous, number one. And number two, and even if they don't think he fit, maybe they needed that. Maybe they needed a little kick in the ass and a guy that's going to, like a Malik Nabers, that's going to stick it to you and let you know about it. I mean, and stop being like a corporate. What's wrong with that? Jazz has come in here and he never played third base. Yankees said, hey, you want to play third base? No problem.
Yep.
No problem.
Right away, and he's great.
Right away, and he deserves all the credit in the world, and he's looked like he's played third base for his entire career. He's going to be a rock star. He's going to be so popular, especially with the younger Yankee fans. He's on video game covers. He's cool. He's cool Jazz. Smooth Jazz, as Ricky Ricardo would say. I wanted the Mets to get him, and I like Jesse Winker. I still like the move. I wanted the Mets to get him because I know exactly the type of player he is, his potential, what we've seen from him, and just what he brings just to the fan base, the excitement, and we've seen it play out that way,
too. Yeah, he's played seven games. Yeah, started seven games with the New York Yankees. He has a hit in every one and two multiple-hit games.
Some big hits,
except
too.
For one. One game he didn't have a hit, and that was the Toronto game, the first in that series. Other than that, he's doing playing good defense, turning double plays, doing all that good stuff. But also giving you a bat to protect your stars.
Yep.
You got to have that. You have to. Otherwise, you just walk them and there's no consequence. Now you walk them and there is a consequence.
Yep. There's a guy that can hurt you. And Jazz is an electric player to watch. He's fun in and off baseball. I mean, he's just a tremendous player. And then Brian Cashman gets a lot of crap in this town. It's Peter Griffin versus the Chicken and Family Guy when it comes to Yankee fans and Brian Cashman, like this never-ending battle. But credit Brian Cashman for bringing in Soto, for bringing in Jazz, and I think this is the best Yankee team that Aaron Judge has been on. All right, that'll do it for us. Tiki's off tomorrow. I have a very special guest host tomorrow that I think everybody's going to love.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.